Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We are in, it is Mother's Day today, but we're also in our relationships series. And so in the beginning, I was like, how am I going to combine the two of those? And then I realized, you know what? Moms probably give the best relationship advice anyway. So I'm kind of going to give you like the mom's relationship advice today, okay? So my title of my message today is called Ever Present. Ever Present. And I wanted to read to you from Psalm 46. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there straight away. But I wanted to speak today to people here who maybe feel distant from God. And the truth is that there isn't one person here who feels distant from God that I'm trying to single out right now. The truth is every single one of us have felt distant at some point in time, and likely majority of us even here right now feel distant, because it's something that we can so easily find ourselves in, is feeling like he's just not there. I'm just not hearing him. I'm just not feeling him. That's okay. That's okay. He's here right now, and I have something to share with you. And what I want to be able to share, what I hope and I know that as we leave these doors today, is that we're going to know that he is so, so close, that he is so present, that he is ever present, not just here right now, but that we can access his presence at any time of the day, no matter what we're going through, that he is there. So that's why I titled this Ever Present. And being Mother's Day, I wanted to share with you a little story about my kids. So I have a 5-year-old boy and an almost 3-year-old daughter, 3 going on 13. I heard that this morning she was walking around with a coffee cup in her hand that was only for mummy. No one else was allowed to have it. She was on a mission to give it to mummy. So I'm training her well, very well. If you want to know how to get a daughter that holds you coffee, come speak to me. But my 5-year-old boy just started school. He's in SK. And I, unfortunately, you know, we have really big weekends. And so Monday mornings, I'm normally like rushing out the door to get to school and always forgetting something. And I've told stories multiple times about me forgetting backpacks and forgetting all sorts of things. Because you know what? This is real life. This is mums. We do this. And so I'm racing to school and we get there. And for the first time in a really long time, I didn't have to go in to the principal's office and get a late slip for my son because the class was still in the playground, which is where they get dropped off. So I walk to the playground and then we just miss them ever so slightly and they start to walk towards the classroom. And so I start to kind of chase after them because I'm like super proud. I've got my daughter on my hip and Noah's right behind me here and we're, you know, running to class excited that we're going to be there on time for the first time. And all of a sudden, I hear my son scream, cry behind me. Like, I'm thinking, like, I don't know. Like, is there a monster? Like, has something happened? He's, like, wailing, eyes closed, screaming for me. And I turn around, and he's right there. He's right there basically at my feet, and he's screaming. And I'm like, no, what's the matter? And he looks up at me, and he's like, oh, I thought I'd lost you. And what had happened was as we were walking slash running towards the class, there was a whole bunch of other families and parents and kids around that I had just started navigating through because I'm a Torontonian and I'm used to navigating people and weaving and just, you know, it's no big deal. People get in the way, you just, you know, get through. But my son doesn't know that yet. He's not used to that yet. So he's right behind me and I start navigating these things and all of a sudden, all he sees is people now in front of him and not his mum. And I realized that this is so similar to the way we do life. We can be walking hand in hand with Jesus, following after him, being right there, feeling oh so close to him, so ever present with him, and all of a sudden, there's something in the way. All of a sudden, there's a problem that comes up in the way that we no longer feel like we can see Jesus and we feel like he's so distant from us and this stuff in front of us is so scary and so overwhelming and takes up our whole eyesight. And the truth is that those problems are nothing to God. So here I was navigating through them like they were nothing, but the people to Noah were massive problems. And you might be here right now today, and you might be just all of a sudden you've lost sight of God, but the truth is he's right there, and those problems are nothing to him. He already knows how to navigate through them. He's not even surprised by them. I remember turning around to Noah, and I'm like, what are you even freaking out about, buddy? Like, it's just people. And God might be saying that to you right here today. What are you freaking out about? It's just problems. Don't you know I'm bigger than them? Don't you know that I'm bigger than whatever you're facing right now? Those things might look like they're bigger than me, but the truth is they're not. They're just people. The second God steps through the problem and reaches out to us, like I did to Noah, the problems part. They no longer have weight. And the same is true in your situation today. As we draw close to God today, those problems will part. They will no longer have that same level of authority in your life. They will no longer look as big as God does. Because the truth is he's way bigger than anything you could be facing. And we can draw near to him. And there's this beautiful scripture in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And it says, I love this, it paints just this beautiful picture of God. It says, God is our refuge and strength. I love that. Refuge there actually means our trust, a trusted place. He is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. No matter what you're going through right now, he wants to help you. He knows exactly what you could be facing, and he wants to help you. So therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. And you know what? In this relationship series, this verse speaks so strongly because we can be doing life and all of a sudden, like this says, feels like the earth gives way. We're just walking through doing our thing and something happens. You get a phone call with some bad news. You get a doctor's report. You get fired from your job. Whatever it is, there's a million circumstances that could happen that could make you feel like the earth gives way. And let me tell you, I guarantee you that every single person in this place has felt like this at some point, and maybe even feeling it right now. Feel like I don't even know what is going on. It feels like the earth underneath me has given way, and I have nothing stable to stand on. The cool thing is that the Bible knows that we were going to feel like that at times. So it described exactly what we can do in that, that he is our refuge and strength. And it also says, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Maybe what you're facing feels like foaming, roaring waters. Feels like you have no control. You know, if you're in the ocean, there's nothing solid to stand on. Whatever you're going through right now, you might feel like there's nothing solid to stand on. Nothing. And it feels just like all this turmoil of waves and foam and whatever. Know that that God's there. That God is the sure thing that you can stand on. That the water and the foam means nothing and that he actually has complete control over the situation. So he is ever present, ever, ever present. And what he does from being ever present is he doesn't leave it there. So God wants to meet you exactly where you are right now. And he is here in this room right now. He wants to meet you, but he doesn't just want to meet you just to hang out with you. He actually has a purpose for you. And the next thing that he does after we draw near to him is he actually gives us help. So it says, an ever-present help in trouble. So he knows that we're going to get ourselves into trouble. He knows that life is going to put us in trouble sometimes. But he actually wants to come in and help. And so I don't know what your perception is of God, but can I tell you that he's not high off in some place that doesn't want anything to do with your life, that he actually wants to come in and help your situation. He actually wants to come in and help the little annoyances in your life. Not just the big problems. He actually wants to come in and help with everything. He also just wants to help you be better at what you're already doing. He doesn't just want to also help just the troubles. He wants to help you enjoy the good things even more. He actually wants to help. And I love that in relationships, quite often we can go to different people for help. So I quite often go to Sam for help. And I think that that's okay. I think that that's all right because my husband is very strong. He's very masculine. He's an incredible man. And I have... I love you. And we have named him in our household. He is the official jar opener of our household. Do you have any other men in the place here that are the official jar openers? What, do you guys all have those like little jar opener like mechanisms or... whatever. But anyway, he is the official jar opener. And I know that nothing makes him feel more masculine. I'm coming over and going, need help with that, babe? I got it. There you go. But I need his help. I do. I really need his help in our life. And about a week ago, I'm going to throw him under the bus because I can, because it's fun. And he had a salsa jar that he could not open. He couldn't open it. And my world came crashing down. I was like, what am I supposed to do with myself now? My help is gone. My help is done. I don't have a helper anymore. Poor guy spent like 2 hours. He officially conquered that thing though, just for the record. He did conquer that salsa jar from hell that would not open. But the truth is that we do go to so many things for help. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that we should have help in life. We should be able to go to our spouse. We should be able to go to our friends. We should be able to go to our family and even people that we work with. We should be able to have mentors that help us. But the problem lies when we go to those things first rather than going to God. Because he actually knows the intricate details of that situation and actually knows what the answer is to help us or knows what we need to develop in us to be able to conquer that thing. And I worry because we have this society that is so consumed with trying to be better versions of ourselves that we can look to ourselves as being our own help. Or we can want to create a level of not needing anybody else for help in ourselves. We can want to create such a level of independence that we don't need help. And so if you've come in here today and you feel like you don't need help, can I let you know that Jesus wants to help you? That you don't need to be self-sufficient? That you don't need to be so independent to the fact that you can handle everything yourself? Because you can't. You can't handle everything that life is going to throw at you. Life really sucks sometimes, and it's going to throw you some curveballs as you do this journey. But I can tell you that God knows that he helps, that he is the helper. He knows the situation. He knows exactly what will help you, and he wants to help. He actually wants to, not just to prove that he's God, but because he loves you, because he loves us. And so, not only is he ever present, so he's ever present, he's there, right here, right now. He's also our help, but he doesn't leave it there. He doesn't leave it at just those two things. He's also our refuge, and he's our strength. And the reason why he's our refuge and our strength is I believe he wants to fill us up again to be able to help others. And so refuge, like I said before, means trust. It means trusted place. I'm going to just invite the keys back up. So it says, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. This right here is the answer to being free from fear. This right here is the answer. It is not becoming independent. It is not having no pain. It is not getting rid of all the problems in our lives. The answer to not having fear anymore is being in His refuge. That is the only answer that we can hold on to. Refuge and strength. And so I want to ask you, where have you placed your trust in? I asked you, where do you go for help? Who do you go for help around you? But I want to also ask you, where have you put your trust? Because I probably would guess right now that a lot of you don't have trust in many things. Because trust is very easily broken. Very easily broken. And we can have trust broken from such an early age. It's not something that just happens to adults. Trust is broken daily by people all around us. And I don't believe that the Bible doesn't want us to no longer trust in things. I think it just wants to guide us to where we can put our trust. Because we need it. We need to have trust in something. Because the truth is that every single one of us is flawed, is broken, being unfiltered here. Every single one of us. And every single one of us is going to let somebody down. So if we depend on our friends, if we put our trust in our friends, it's going to get broken. If we put our trust in our family, it's going to be broken. They're going to break your trust. I'm sorry, but no person on this planet is trustworthy enough that they will not break your trust. This might sound like bad news, but it's actually good news. Because God is for us, and we can put our 100% trust in Him. And what that actually does, what having trust in Him actually does, is it actually enables us to have healthy relationships then. Because if we put trust in other people without putting our trust in God, when they break our trust, it's going to break us. And it's a guaranteed thing. Please hear me on this. Every single person has the ability to break your trust and likely will. But what we can do is we can let that situation not break us. The only way that we can not get broken ourselves is by putting all of our trust in Him. And then when other trust gets broken, it's all right. It doesn't affect me anymore. It doesn't affect me. If someone breaks my trust, it doesn't matter because my trust is 100% in Jesus. And what I can actually do is I can actually go and love that person who's actually just broken my trust. You know how the Bible says pray and love your enemies? That's how. We can't do that if we are so hurt by what happens. So we can go to Him as our refuge and our trust. But the other thing that He is our strength. And you know what? Right now, especially being Mother's Day is not always a joyful day for everybody. And what I have seen through my life, what I have experienced through my life, is that there have been promises that God has given me, and they are painful. So what I've discovered is that gifts and promises are very different things. A gift is something that's given straight away. A promise requires holding on to. It requires a follow through. It requires a time. It requires a working it out. If it didn't, it would just be a gift. And what I've noticed is that almost always part of the process of a promise is pain involved. And too often, when that pain comes in the journey of that promise, we give up on the promise. Instead of learning what we need to learn through the pain of it in order to attain the promise. Does that make sense? So you might be in the room right now and you felt that God's given you a promise. Likely you would be feeling it if you have this deep down desire inside of you that hasn't been fulfilled yet, especially in relationships like a spouse or children. For Sam and I, it was the journey of children. We got married really young and then we tried for children and it took us years. And I had been given a vision of our kids. I was in worship one day and God just showed me a picture. I don't really see visions. I'm not some vision person. But I saw a picture of our children and it felt so real and so tangible that I felt that God was showing me that for a reason. But then years went by of us trying everything in our human strength. It's relationship month. We know how it works. But it wasn't delivering. And I remember being so, so angry at God. So angry. I was like, how dare you give me a picture of something that you were promising me and not give me the gift of it? What kind of sick person are you? I'm being real with you right now. Chances are you felt like that towards God at some point. Why would you do this to me? Why would you show me something so beautiful? Why would you show me a picture of a beautiful marriage and yet I've been waiting years for that person to come along? Why? Because I believe that there's something significant that actually takes part in us when we journey through the pain towards that promise. Pain is not actually a bad thing if we let it transform us by depending on Jesus through that and getting the gold that he has for you, because chances are that promise that he has for you isn't just that tangible promise. The promise that he had for me was not just children. It was actually the faith that I would grow through the journey of waiting for my children. It was the belief. It was the hope. It was the endurance. It was the suffering. It was all of that through the process, through the pain, was actually what the promise delivered. Not just children. So you might be there right now in the middle of the pain. Let me encourage you that the promise will come, and it won't just come as that thing. You are going to look back on this moment and you are going to see how God gave you faith through it, how he gave you endurance through it, how he was so ever present with you through it, how you learned how to draw on his spirit through it, how you learned how to read his word, how you learned him, how you learned how to love on others that are experiencing the promise that you're waiting for. You're going to look back and see all of the gifts that came with that other gift as well of the promise. And the extra cherry on top of all of that is that we're then able to help other people. That any promise and any pain that you were going through is actually not just for you. So God has turned something that 6 years ago, before I fell pregnant with Noah, was the darkest, most painful time in my life. He has now turned that into such a freedom moment, because I have so much faith that women will fall pregnant now, that I have been called to pray for it. Two women's events ago at her, we prayed for women who were trying to fall pregnant, that were struggling, that could not see a way, and we declared. And you know what? If I hadn't gone through that pain, I would not be convicted to pray for it. I would not have the revelation that he still comes through, even though you can't see him coming through. And from that event, we've seen now 5 women in this church, conceive their children. I think God deserves a little more praise than that. I am blown away. I am blown away by his goodness. And you know what's even better is that now those 5 women have stories of journeying through pain and seeing a promise. So now they're going to have that same thing of, no, I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to believe with you, and we're going to see babies being born. We're going to see some of the most incredible miracles happen through this church and through this city, because we are a people that aren't afraid to journey through the pain and actually receive the promise and then pass it on to people that are in that pain. Let's not stay there. Let's not stay in the pain. So that last thing that he gives us in that trusted place, in that refuge, is strength. Strength is what he gives us because he knows that we need it. He knows that that is what we need to get through this problem. That is what we need to get through the pain. And I love that he is so good to do that for us. That he's not some God that looks down and goes, "Oh, you weaklings." That he looks down and his heart aches for what we experience. And he just longs to give us and fill us with the strength to be able to overcome what's facing us. And that's what happens when we draw near to him. And there's this beautiful scripture in Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, 22. And it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." I love this scripture. That he doesn't give us the 10 ways to get into that refuge place, to get into that trusted place, gives us one. In that story with Noah, he was trying to find me. He was so scared that he'd lost me, but I was right there. All he had to do was open his eyes, and my hand reached out to him, and I lifted him up. Once he was in my arms, nothing looked scary anymore. And I believe that's what's happening right here in this room right now. Is that the presence of God is here. And all that he's asking us is to draw near. And the way we draw near, it says here, with a sincere heart. It requires vulnerability. And vulnerability, I know, is the scariest thing we could possibly ever do. It's honestly, I can't think of a thing that is scarier than being vulnerable to hurt, to be hurt, to open ourselves up to it. But let me tell you that when you open your heart up to Jesus, that there isn't pain, that he is trustworthy, that he is that refuge, that he will fill your heart with strength, that he will fill you with endurance to be able to tackle what you have to tackle, that he will give you exactly what you need right now, because he's a gentleman and he doesn't want to force his way into our lives. He actually wants us to want it, want us to be vulnerable so that he can fill us up with exactly what we need. And I love this. Being a relationship series, I feel like this has to be said. It says in that second line, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. During relationship series, you may hear, well, hopefully you won't hear do's and don'ts from us from the front. You may hear advice on ways to possibly live to kind of avoid pain a little bit. But the truth is that you don't need to clean yourselves up. We don't need to clean up before we come into the presence of God. So if you're here right now and there's a level of feeling guilty for what's happened in the past, please know that you don't need to clean anything up before you can draw near to his presence. He does that for us. All it takes is a vulnerability from us, and then he just does that, just pushes it away. Whatever has happened to you, whatever you have done, it holds no bearing on your future with Jesus. That he can cleanse you in a moment and it is free, it is gone, you no longer have to worry about it. You are filled with his strength to move forward. So I'm just going to ask everybody right now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to offer the invitation to you to invite Jesus into your life. Nobody's looking around. This is a personal moment between you and God. And you may have been listening to me talk and you're like, I don't even know what this girl's talking about, God, Jesus, all that stuff, but I kind of think I want some of that. That might be your time to respond. So I want to extend that invitation right now. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the second time, maybe you've been away and you want to come back, I want to ask you to raise your hand right now with nobody looking around. Thank you. There's a hand over on the right. There's one on the back. You can put your hand down. There's another one on the right. You guys can put your hands down. There's three hands. There's four hands that have already gone up around the room. I say that because I want you to know that you're not alone. If there is anybody else here, let me tell you, as we speak on relationships, it is the best decision you will ever make. So if you want to invite Jesus into your life right now, just raise your hand up and we'll say a prayer with you as a church.